I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You know, when you get to that place where you're so comfortable with each other and you can talk and you can be quiet, it's all good.
There's a time for this and a time for that. You've found the rhythms. Sometimes you know you don't need to say anything because they need to talk. Let them talk and don't say anything. My point is that we understand the hating of our children, and because they're the ones who are going to be the ones that poke us. And I hate things that poke me. But wait a minute. They're sinners. I'm a sinner. I need to mold them. What's my job here? And you begin to take a breath. And meekness says, I understand behaviors are wrong. I understand sin is sin. I understand certain behaviors are an abomination to God. But I further understand, because the meek will inherit the earth, I understand that God is not willing that any should perish. And I need to come at this not as a battering ram. I need to come at this thing as a velvet-colored brick in some ways. I have to be honest, but not at the front door. I have to be loving. I have to understand. I have to let them speak. I have to rejoice and find things we have in common that I can rejoice in. Just natural niceness. Listen, do you know what grace is? Grace is being nice. When you talk about somebody being gracious, you know what that looks like? That looks like you try to be nice to them. If you're a gracious person, you know what I'm talking about. That's the hard thing. Hard to be nice to somebody sometimes, but you do it anyway. You talk about people coming from foreign countries and coming here and starting businesses. Watch people like that when they're in their business. They find out how to be nice. They might not even understand the culture. I was at the Chinese restaurant and these folks were talking about how this has impacted them and how their business is almost shot. Because of this COVID-19 torpedo that we sent over from the Far East, it was on purpose, I believe, with all my heart. And I believe what they're doing has been a direct hit. They're telling us right now that 60% of those businesses that shut down will probably never open again. Crazy, isn't it? Talk about an economic hit. What could have brought America to her knees? We were on the upswing. Things were good. And suddenly they weren't so good. And now families are really in the middle of a calm, and we don't even know what the election is going to look like. But what about graciousness? Is it just because somebody did something to us, do we put them all in those internment camps or whatever? Do you know what they call them overseas in the Badlands? They call them concentration camps. They tell people who are good people, Christian people, they put them in concentration. You think about it. You think about it. You don't want God anymore. You think about it. You know what? People go in there, they don't know about the church. Can I tell you a secret about the church? You knock us down, we're in a perfect position to pray. And maybe we hadn't been praying like we ought to. Suddenly we are. This country's been knocked down. And I think we've got a big bunch of people praying more than they ever did. And I hope that's true. I'm sure there's some that have been praying more. And it's because we know that the game is afoot. So I say to you that he's telling these people what they need to hear. Sheep. Yes, simple. Yes, special in their own way. Skittish. The Bible says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. If you've ever studied this at all, you know that sheep are prone to eat too much to the point where they make themselves sick. So the shepherd goes over, and after they've eaten what he would deem enough, he lays them down. He just lays them down. And they're so full they can't get up, I guess. So you see the point. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. They're good, green, lush pastures filled with dew. First thing in the morning, good. Almost sounds good, doesn't it? Grass with water in it. Man, it's like a good salad. He has to make them lay down in green pastures. He leaves beside still waters because no matter how thirsty they are, if there's a babbling brook, they will not drink. So he lays them beside the still waters. You see, sheep are a funny creation of God. One jumps and all of them start jumping. You've seen those pictures. One's going along jumping, and then the other one's jumping. There's nothing there, but they think, well, if he jumped, I got to jump. So this parable's going right to the audience. He's talking to the Pharisees, the ones who've just murmured. How can he eat with these people? Well, because these people are sheep, I'm the shepherd. That's me. I am their shepherd. I got some that went astray. Do you see how powerful that is? These people didn't miss it. These were the teachers of Israel. You remember when Nicodemus was told, you must be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter? Is he supposed to enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born? Remember, he says, are you a teacher in Israel? And don't you know these things? Every time he would speak to these people, it had meaning. It had depth. It had girth. And it was something good. There was something beyond what was right on the surface, because that was the game they knew how to play. They knew about some of the sacrifices. They should have known him, but he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They should have known when they start spreading their rumors and saying, we don't even know whose son is he. They knew whose son he was. Those records were kept in the temple. They knew who was from whom and whom was from whom. They knew Joseph was the heir apparent. They knew. They had to know. Luke gave the genealogy all the way back to Adam, which, by the way, was the first man ever in creation. Created on the sixth day. Just saying. As if it needs to be said. So he tells them, what man among you hath 100 sheep? You don't go after the one. Leave the others in the wilderness. There's a lot there that I could go into, but I will not. I just want to bring your attention to that word lost again. When you think about being lost, you need to understand that lostness is a huge deal. We sing it in Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. But the word for lost is the word apolumi. In the Greek, it shows up 92 times in the New Testament. But it comes from a compound word. Its root word is elethros. This word only shows up 4 times in the New Testament. And it gives us a little idea of what this is about. It usually has to do with lostness and destruction, apolumi does. This word actually really drills into it. It's upon elethros. Here's a couple of the words that it says about it. That in church discipline, we're supposed to separate someone unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And that word is elethros. Destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Think about that. If the devil gets a green light on somebody that's a believer, how bad do you think that's going to be? You know, when the church declares this person's living in overt rebellion against holy God, they say they're a brother or a sister, there's a point where they have to be put out of the church. We've had that happen a couple of times in my ministries here and in Pennsylvania. Doesn't happen very often. Frankly, the bar is pretty low. You have to be intentional. Like what one person said, if somebody's doing that which embarrasses themselves, embarrasses the church, and embarrasses Jesus, that maybe is where you need to start saying, we need to have a talk. Okay, because they're really being Christian that people would identify as a Christian, but then also somebody who needs to be put out. But think about it. If the devil himself has been given a green light, how much do you think he's going to enjoy open season? This would be like somebody taking a general from our military and putting him right in the hands of the worst terrorists. I mean, you've seen the videos, perhaps, where they would put some people in cages and put gasoline on them, light the gas from a distance, and had videographers because they got $1.5 billion in cash. They could get these great videographers to make movies. And they'd put these people in a cage that was about the size of an outhouse. And then they'd start the fire and they would video this. The devil destroys. That's what he's here to do. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is that. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. See, sometimes we just push back so much against our Father that we have to take action. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's serious. This guy was involved in an incestuous relationship. The others that were delivered in Scripture were those who denied the resurrection. Hymenaeus and Alexander, who denied the resurrection and things like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says it this way. It says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is talking about the tribulation. We're right there. You know, the ticking hand of the 11th hour, you know, the 11:59, tick, tick, tick. We got seconds left here. We're on that. They're saying peace and safety. In the Middle East, they're saying it. But it says then sudden destruction. What's going to happen in November? What do you think is going to happen? If one wins, is it going to be upheaval in the street? If the other wins, is there still going to be upheaval in the street? If there's no winner declared, is there going to be upheaval in the street? They're saying peace and safety in the Middle East, and next thing you know, America blows up potentially. People in our country, Amish folks came out of the woodwork to buy guns at, what's the name of it? Outdoor? Fin, Feather, and Fur, or bought the store. This is the Amish people. Do you know, you've heard the statement, the worm has turned. That comes from the concept of the worm. You know, they're not going to ever fight back. They got nothing. But when you press them, they turn back. If you've ever been fishing, the worm has turned. This is what's happening in our country as we speak. And I want you to know that when he says this is happening, destruction, this destruction in 1 Thessalonians is a destruction that comes in real time on earth. It's called the tribulation. The church is raptured out, catapulted into eternity to have a 7-year wedding with Jesus, where we really get up close and personal, get to know him and the intricacies and get used to our new bodies. Woohoo! I'm getting a new body. Corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Mortality is going to put on immortality. It's all going to be good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says that those who do not receive the love of the truth will be punished with everlasting destruction. Now I'm telling you, 4 times this word shows up. One is when somebody's separated unto Satan. One is when somebody's heading into the tribulation. And one is when somebody is in hell for eternity. And they're going to be everlasting destruction. That means they won't be utterly annihilated. It's going to be an everlasting, ongoing destruction. Do you get a little feel of the fire of this thing? So he's worried about one being, as it were, lost. That's what this word, lost, they're going to be destroyed. The shepherd couldn't imagine the idea of really letting that sheep be subject to the wolves. It's funny how people in churches are willing to subject themselves to the wolves. You know, they don't join, they're light-handed, I don't want to be a part of anything that I'm responsible for, you know, I don't know, you know, I've been in church, and hey, rain on all that. You go to a church, you make it better. You make it better. Be gracious, be nice, and make it better. This is all we got. This is our Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It's what it is. And when Jesus comes in, he makes it like Lucy did in the Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. He makes it work. He makes it work. But we do our part individually. Just me. My part. You, your part. But when people are not connected, many times they're subject to the battery of the devil because they don't need to be put out. They're already out there. I move on. So he's worried about it. And then he says, and he puts it on his shoulders gladly. Picture of the cross, right? He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Verse 6, when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors. Jesus entered into heaven. What do you think the first thing he said? Father, first of all. And it is finished, has been said already. 1 foot in earth, 1 foot in heaven, perhaps. It is finished. It is paid in full. And though he was bleeding and battered and exhausted, he cried aloud, Tetelestai. It's a good day. When he got home, there was joy, the Bible says, in the presence of the angels. Look at verse 7. It says, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now, the word repent, I've pointed this out for you before, but it means metanoia. It is the word metanoia, and it means to change your mind. When you change your mind about something, it will change your behavior. I liken it to when you're driving down 71 and you know there's no gas station, but you know your needle is almost completely banging to the end, and you're on fumes, and you're like, you missed your turn, and you're thinking, I'm a-going. But you know that you've rid this road before and you're pretty sure there's no gas station for another 50, 60, 80 miles. That weighs on you. If you're convinced this is true, it weighs on you. Listen, if you're convinced about lost, if you're convinced about everlasting destruction, that'll weigh on you. I don't need to ask you to change your behavior.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.